that's just like what's going on with the children of Israel that we talked about last week. The Democrats, they were talking about the Equality Act. For those of y'all who don't understand or know what that is, I recommend that you research what's overtaken our country. But actually, the congressman stood on the floor, and this is how he addressed Congress. He said, "The will of God is of no concern to our Congress." Now, when you say that, what is going on with the children of Israel during this time period? They had forgot where they had come from. They had not passed down the lineage, as we had discussed earlier. So our country is in the same status, probably even worse. So that really hit home. Why is our country in such disarray? As we talked about last week, how do we know about God? Where do we get our information from? And we started down the rabbit trail, and I'm really good at going down rabbit holes, so some of y'all may have to pull me back out. But I even got talking about how some of us, we don't even use our Bibles. We even know. We've had other things take the place of our Bibles. So it really gives an idea of what happened to the children of Israel, how that message didn't get handed. And where the generations got lost. So when you stop and you think about it, when you were doing your devotions this week, if y'all were, on the very first one was the path to bondage. And that's where we're at right now in our country's history, if you want to call it that. We're on the path to bondage. We've let other things come in and educate our children. We were talking earlier this morning about playing marbles. How many of y'all can remember playing marbles? When you stop and you think, that was, you know, outside, you, and we were being creative. I remember my dad was a mechanic, and it was real funny when you said that. As I would go in his shop as a little boy, he would have bearings. And he would hear me over on the anvil just wearing on something, just beating as hard as I could. And my mother would walk in, "What is he doing?" My granddad would be sitting back snickering. What I was trying to do was bust the race apart and steal those ball bearings out of it. So I had some steel Aggies. I listened to Jerry Clower a little too much. You know, I wanted to be able to win. But when you're looking at it, what was our path to bondage? When you start seeing that, it starts letting you know why you are where you're at. And then the second day, how do we view God? Who is God in our lives? Do we value Him? Do we even know who He is? It's like one of the children's lessons I do. I ask them, "Tell me who God is. Explain God to me." And they sit there and they go on and on different things. I said, "Okay, can I see Him? Can I feel Him?" And then I do an illustration with a hairdryer and a ping pong ball where I fly a ping pong ball up in the air. Tell me about air. I can't see it. I can't touch it. You know, I just know it's there. And then I do an illustration with a can where I'll empty it out, add a little water, put it on a Sterno can, heat it up, and then I'll flip the can upside down in ice water. Well, if you look at the mechanic, the engineering of it, what happens? It creates a vacuum. What does it do to that can? It will flatten that can smaller than that book. And I use as an illustration that this is God at work. And I challenge the kids, now explain God to me. And you will be amazed at now how much more info they have. But, you know, how do we view God? Is He important in our lives? Is He the true Creator and the great I Am? What's our relationship with Him? Then on day three, God knows your situation. And that's basically where we dropped off in the lesson last week. When you stop and you think, anything that we've been through, God wastes no time for trials. Sometimes we think it's trivial, but it's preparing us for later in life. It's no misconception. So as we dive further in this book, in chapter 1, when you look at it, to give you some backdrop, who was Egypt at that time? When you stop and you think, who had just been the savior of Egypt?
Well, Egypt at that time was the world empire.
Correct. Who had put them there? Who? Joseph. That's why the Pharaoh at that time, what did he say? Hey, put them as our leaders. You know, Joseph saved us. And they remembered. And just like where Brother Jim said, Egypt was the powerhouse. And they started drifting away. And what did Egypt start having to do? They started having false gods. Well, it's no mistake here. One of the gods they worshiped was the great river what? The Nile. And what grew in that river? Crocodiles. Is that a place where you would let your kids go play? May let your grandkids, not your kids, right? But when you stop and you think, there is no mistake here. There is no mistake. Because that trial, because they worship the river, if you stop and you think as we get further in it, that's going to play a major importance here. But there's no accidents in God's manner. There's no mistakes. So as we pick up your next blank, if you're keeping up with your sheet, I'm going to catch you up, is unfamiliar with Jehovah. Unfamiliar with Jehovah. That was your next blank. And that's on the second page, B. Because the Pharaoh, this is where the idolatry had come in. And that's where a lot of their sin said. In Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, and it says, "And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." So it says right here, he has no clue. Our nation today is identical. When you look at our leaders, they've got a little big for their britches. Who put them in power? God. And who is supposed to control them? Who are they a voice for? Just like Miss Jill said, us. But how many of us, when we go to a voting booth, and I've got to give Mr. Don kudos here. Anytime there's an election coming, most of the time if you need info, who should you get? Mr. Don most of the time has a blueprint even. And it maps it out. But how many of us should be doing that? That's the people that are going to control our kids, our grandkids. It pays to be informed. So when you look, how about our school system? I mean, they really struggle. Look, I even looked at Miss Rochelle and she said, bless their hearts. They're struggling. They're hurting. Why? I can remember used to in school where I went, and it was a public school, we had someone once a year that would come to the school and give out Bibles. How many people do that now, Miss Rochelle? None. Why not? Why not? It's not accepted, or as Christians, we've allowed it to go that way. Do they still have reading time at school for the younger grades where volunteers can come in and read? Okay. Well, at that point, I wonder how many Christians went to go read. Go ahead, Mr. Wade. All right, go ahead.
When I went to school, at public school, the greatest missionaries our country ever had were those primary and elementary school teachers. And in about 1960, 61, God was taking out school.
Yes.
And quite literally, and excuse my French, but the whole country went to hell.
And we've never come back. But how can we say, and everybody, we want to cast fingers, well, it's this person and that person. That's the reason our country has fallen. But how many of us has invested time in our children? I coach, I spend a lot of time at Victory. I drive their travel buses for any of their events. I also help. I coach the girls' soccer team. I'm the boys' assistant soccer coach. Our kids are hurting, even in Christian schools. They ask me, they go, Coach, why do you make us dress this way? I said, well, first of all, it's in the Bible. Second of all, I don't want nothing coming back saying there was an immodest thought, or I don't want no one arguing that someone has something better. We're going to set standards and we hold to it. A lot of times, if they break my standard, they don't play. It's like what I've told them. First is church. You can skip a practice for church. I don't care. Just tell me you're going to church, I'll take your word. Second, you know, is your parents. If your parents say something, I honor that. Next is school. You know, to me, it's a hierarchy. Last is sports. I could care less if you missed or showed up for every practice and you were my best player. Come game time, I'm not putting you in. If your grades are bad, if your attitude's bad, because that's going to reflect out on the field. It means a lot. Our younger people are hurting. And too many of us are afraid to go challenge. It's just like going to read. How many of us can take an hour of our day just to go read? To spend time. I mean, to share where you've been through. When they stop and they look at, and I use Reed for example. He has an avenue where he can go in, he can help with horticulture and different things dealing with agriculture. How do you do a small business? There's a lot of things that a farmer faces, having to juggle crops, insurance, what to plant, what not to, nutrients. Miss Jill, I mean, on so many different levels. I mean, just as well, everything you do. All of us. We can go through each and every one, how valuable, well, we can go in and we can help our young people. In Psalms chapter 96, verse 3, it says, declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. We can share what we've been through. When you stop and you think, everybody wants to talk about racism and all. When you look at it, how many different times can you see God playing in there helping people? But you hear nothing mentioned. When you look at the Vietnam War, Korean War, World War I, World War II, all of those, the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, even all the way back to the Spanish, English Wars, you can see God working in it, but that's left out. No one wants to talk about how awesome God was and what He brought people through. Next, your next blank for number C is unfair with the people. When we go back to our verse, in Exodus chapter 1, verse 9 through 10. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when they falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. Well, just before in verse 8, they were talking about how they should be rulers and taskmakers. And it was real ironic when I was doing the background for this research, for this chapter, they actually found in some of the tombs, they talked about these taskmakers. And you could tell the status of these taskmakers by the staffs they carried. If it was a short staff, you weren't that very good of a taskmaster. If you had a longer one, you were higher up the statue. And that's where it was really amazing. We can see all this stuff in history. I mean, that is a worldview from a public perspective that it's for all of us to see. Now we have the Bible that says the same thing. So the way the world's viewing it and God's view, but yet we won't follow it. Why do we drift off from that? So when you look at why were they worried about war? What was Egypt worried about war then? Were they at a status of war? Why be unfair? Right now, stop and look. Take any bill that Congress has passed, or legislative, or laws, anything. Why are they always against Christianity? Why? Tell me one thing that a Christian's done to go against this country. Just one. Tell me where one thing of this Bible goes against proper leadership, proper child rearing. Name one. So why is our country so hard against God? Do what? But why do they hate him? And that's where I'm getting at. When it's just unfair is what she says. It's just the way the world is. It is. But what happened when Hurricane Katrina hit down in Louisiana? But what did our presidents come out and all of our leaders say? Did they not say, pray. Wait a minute. You say there is no God, but you want me to pray. Who do you want me to pray to? We say, God bless America. You see it on every bumper sticker. You see it on every Facebook post, every LinkedIn post, everything. God bless America. But everything's against God. But why? Christians are being dealt unfairly. If you went to your employer and you said, hey, look, I can't work on this day because I need to go to the church. What would most employers say? Sorry about that. Or you're fired. We don't need you. Well, if you're a proper Christian, and this book guides you and leads you, what kind of employee are you going to be? You should be a good one, because what does it say in here? So if you're doing it all to the glory of God and you're a hard worker, as an employer, who should I value the most? But still, we're dealt unfairly with. In Genesis chapter 47, verse 5 through 6, and Pharaoh spake unto Joseph. This is way back when Egypt was in trouble. Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell in the land of Goshen. Let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, make them rulers over my cattle. This was Pharaoh realizing, hey, Joseph knew the real God. And the real God gave Joseph the information to save Egypt. And this Pharaoh got it. He goes, hey, I need help. I need someone to help bring my cattle, to raise, to save us, to put us financially stable and to thrive and to save us during bad times. So, Joseph, if you know any other Christians, come put them over my administration. Come help me. That's how Egypt got where it was. Look at America. Why did most people flee England? Persecution. And what happened? America started growing, didn't it? You had some great awakenings in America. And you started seeing America grow and become powerful. Stop and think. How many missionaries come from America to go on foreign fields? Now, how many missionaries come from foreign fields to come to America to save us? But when you stop and you think, America started growing. In the early 1900s, America was strong. We were superpower. When you look back in World War II, what did Japan say? Oh, well, you don't go wake that great giant over there. Don't do it yet. Why? Go ahead. Very much so. But back in World War II, we had a different country then, didn't we? And what happened? There were battles that still, you know, statisticians are going, it's impossible. You could not have done this. During the battles, they even found, I can't even think of his name, they found people that God was important to them. Now, Hollywood got a hold of it and added different things to it. But during battles, I can remember my grandfather. Before he passed, he was in the Navy. It was important for him to remember a book of Psalms. No matter what, he would start saying it over and over and over. And he said, you know how many times we went through an attack? And nothing bad happened to me.
God.
It's amazing that how much protection God gives us that we overlook. But what happened? We go back to what Nurse Wade said. Now later on, we got a little too big for our britches. God's not important. We started forgetting from where we come from. I can remember when I went through basic training as a police officer, very first day, you stood on that parade field almost all day long. I had a Marine Corps DI, was my first in law enforcement. And he would get in your face, he would scream, cuss, spit on you, bang his hat in your head. And you're like, why? And you were so afraid. You wouldn't dare move. Now as one of those instructors, I sat back and sort of chuckled. But later on, we had to stay in formation. There were rules you had to adhere to. Your bunk had to be a certain way. If not, everybody suffered. I mean, and you can hear Miss Jill going, uh-huh. You remember those days? Nothing was sacred, was it? when the instructors come walking through. But why? They were trying to prepare you for battle. It's just like on when in the Coast Guard, I was talking with Mr. Colvin and Mrs. Colvin. There was a certain way that you had to come into a room and turn. I was like, at first, I was like, that's so trivial. Mr. Colvin said, no, you miss it. You have to do that so when we go into hazardous situations and bad water or something like that, there's no confusion coming in and out of that vessel. He said, it flows very smoothly. And the same with the Navy. There's a reason why you do certain things in a ship. In the Army, there are certain reasons why you do what you do. It's preparing you. In law enforcement, I had to draw my weapon from the holster 1,000 times one day. We just stood there and drew clear back in the holster all day. And everybody looked at it and they're like, why? Well, guess what? In a hazardous situation, I don't have time to go, wait a minute, here it is, defeat the safety, weapon comes out, I turn the weapon. Now, it's almost instinct how it comes out. But even now in our basic training, the last academy I went to help teach, I'm most of the time their first week instructor. It's my job the first week to be the loudest, the meanest, the baddest. When we go to run, my job is to run until they can't take no more. My job is to break them. The last academy I went to, we told the cadets, look, there's COVID going on. You need to be in khaki pants and just a dark color polo shirt, black shoes. Well-groomed. Left it very simple. We had cadets showing up in spandex. As an instructor, my head started rotating. I was almost frothing at the mouth. I was like, oh, this is so good. And here I come across the parade field. I remember I had a person in the administration go, well, hold up. You have to be kinder and gentler. We're not going to yell at them. We're not going to run them. I'm like, why? So they got in their bunks, and when I went through, there were certain time lights out, room had to be kept in a certain manner. So next morning we go in to do room inspections. I'm like, what? Did they have a party here last night? But everything, we've broken it down away from holding rules and regulation. What's going to happen when that officer is faced in the heat of the battle? They're not going to make it. Look at our military. Why? America's military used to be way up here. We were the powerhouses. Used to, you never heard of any other military organization. When you said the Navy SEALs, the American Delta Forces, the 82nd Airborne, the 1st Cav, people knew who they were. They were the elite. Now when you stop and you look, they're falling way down. We forgot where we come from. And that's why it happened with Egypt. You know, in the beginning, they welcomed them to bring them up. When you stop and you think, the cruelty that the children of Israel went through. If right now you went and told your coworkers, I don't care where you work, unless you work for yourself, Mr. Al, your employer's not going to get on you. Because Miss Carol, I hope, would have some understanding. But if you went out in a worldly profession and you started proclaiming Christ, how much ridicule would you get? Bro Jim, in your position, if you went to your building, your employer, and go, well, we can't do this, and they go, why not? Well, God said, they would look at you like you were crazy. Am I wrong?
They're not even going to ask why not.
Right. They're a little bit different creature, aren't they? Merce Don, how would your employers go, look, we can't drive on this day because God said this is a special day. What would they say to you? Brother Jesse, what would your employer say if you said, hey, we can't do this because God doesn't like this being sold and done? So when you stop and... That was employees, fellow employees. When you stop and you think, it's the same thing. And those fellow employees, they don't control you. But guess what? They can make your life miserable. Then they start concocting stories about you. I'm going to pick on Mr. Jesse a minute. I can remember Mr. Jesse years ago at the old Walmart. Every time I've known him, he's been a hard worker, dedicated. He would do anything in the world to help anyone. Never late. He's always going to do the best job. Why would you try and hinder an employee like that? That's an employee that everybody wants. But when you stop and you think, you know, our country has forgotten, Walmart has forgotten, why did they get so big? Because guess what? I go and spend my money there. Why? Because I know Mr. Jesse's there and he's a hard worker. He's dependable. So if I go and ask him, hey, where can I find this? And back then you were into sporting goods, I believe. I remember I talked with him for hours about different things, and I got good advice. Yep. That almighty dollar, they forgot what's wrote on that almighty dollar. In God we trust. But as Americans, we need to start pushing back. The battle cry is there. It very much so. It's just like abortions. Right. When you stop and you think, you know, why don't we push back abortions? When you stop and you think about it, and I view it a lot different. Probably didn't want some people. And the way I view it, for every child who's aborted, I'm going to answer for it. Not that I have any part of it, but because I didn't do anything to stop it. That's where, if we know who God is, I can't help what they do in California, Alaska, away from here. But I'm going to answer for that because I didn't do my part here. That's where when we understand who God is, it gives a whole different persona and a whole different effect on why we need to push, why we need to fight. Look at it this way right now. My son, he's getting ready to graduate college. He's getting ready to go teach at a Christian school. So things that Mr. Wade taught him, you, Mr. Don, the Colvins, Mr. Parker, all things that y'all have instilled in him, he's getting ready to be one of our next teachers to go out. How well did we prepare him? When I look, the one thing I love my son to death. He loves to sing. When he went to Pensacola, he started out in the choir. He started listening to other people. Oh, this is humdrum. And he got out. When you stop and think, you know, Miss Carol, I don't know how many times she spent hours and hours. Mr. Don, he still can remember the fishing trips. You remember? Because I even went and woke someone up at 3 in the morning trying to find your house because I lied to you. I said I knew where you lived, and actually I didn't, so I'm staying at a stranger's house at 3 in the morning banging on their door. And they weren't upset with me. But he remembers those. He remembers Mr. Wade Reed giving his testimony. This is what's going to be leading our country. We've got to invest. We've got to push forward. We've got to tell them where we've come from. Because a country who does not know where they come from, guess what we're going to do? We're going to repeat it. And everybody looks at me like I have three heads. How did Adolf Hitler get all the Jews to go to a certain place where at that point they were held in captivity? From there they were loaded on boxcars. From there they were sent to the death camps. How? And here we are, America is right in that OODA loop following the same vicious cycle. And we can't see the trees for the forest. Well, we can't see the forest for the trees, I'm sorry. But when you stop and you look, that's where the children of Israel is. That's why it was so important for us to understand who God is and reflect in our lives. As you're going through these devotions, that's why it's important to see the trials and struggles. Because now you know what you're fighting for and how much it affects. Probably right now, Miss Kathy's ready to wring Brother Jim's neck. You remember in the choir what was one thing Brother Jim used to always pray for? Somebody from this church would do what? And going out in the mission field. Remember that, Bird Jim? What happened, Miss Kathy, shortly after that? Yeah, you can wring his neck. He caused it. But we have to prepare. We have to get ready. When you stop and you think in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10, it says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." From what we've been through, God has prepared us. We don't know why. Look in your lives at struggles you have been through, be it with your children, be it a situation you yourself have gone through. There's no mistake. God is preparing you. It may not be for your edification. It may be for someone to come and help you. I don't know how many times I've seen someone going through some struggles and all, and people will come up to them, "Hey, can I help you?" "No, thanks." You're wrong. Let them help you. It's their blessing. They want to help you through a trial and struggle. Your next one, on number 2, is a harmful culture. How harmful is this world right now for our children to grow up through? You're next for a hateful plot. A hateful plot. What did Pharaoh decide to do? He told the handmaidens, "Hey, look, when a child is born, a hateful plot." P-L-O-T. You know, he told the midwives, guess what? Anytime a male child is born, do what? Kill it. Kill it. What's going on in our country now? But God has a unique way of working everything through His glory and honor. What was the last plague before the children of Israel left Egypt? What was the last plague? What happened to every Egyptian child? The firstborn. What happened? They died. Do you see the relationship? There is no mistake. But these midwives, amongst what they were told to do by Pharaoh, they knew it was wrong. They knew it. When you stop and you think and you go to that verse, and verse 15 through 16, the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shifra, and the name of the other Pua. Why were those two ladies mentioned? Why? Do what? But they were of importance. They spread the news. I look at it like maybe they were the administrator over the Hebrew wives or the midwives. And they were supposed to go and tell. And these two ladies, no, this is just Roy thinking now. But it was important for them to obey God more than man. I look at the men in here. Why don't we have more men teachers? Why not? What's the requirements to be a teacher in our church, Brother Jim?
Be saved.
Be saved. What else? Do what? Faithful. What else? There's one more. Just be a member. How hard are those three? But I got a question. If you start polling the men in this church, how many can just meet three simple requirements? Why will men not come to the altar? When you stop and you think, that's where the midwives were important. They stood the gap. They knew it was important to do what was right. When you stop and you think, they had a higher perspective. That's your next one. For B, a higher perspective. You don't understand everything going on in your life. I never forget when they told my grandmother that my grandfather was going through Alzheimer's. At first, we viewed it, hey, that's going to be very bad. You know how grandmama viewed it? No, you don't understand. He lost all of his family. He's had rheumatic fever. He's been through this sickness and that sickness. Every day will be new to him. He would wake up like a child, happy at Christmas. Grandmama viewed it different. That's why when she had cancer, we thought, oh, she's going to sink down in deep depression. Not grandmama. She had a ball with it. When she lost all of her hair, she goes, look, honey, today I can be a blonde, tomorrow brunette. I can run out and I can fancy the town. She was happy. Guess what happened? She recovered over it and away she went. She's still going. It's how we view the trials we're going through. Are we looking at a higher perspective? For number three, a helpful hand. No matter what your trial you're going through, God allows a way for us to escape the situation. He's going to save us. No matter what our situation we're in, God's going to be in control. God loves us. Me and Miss Jenny's at the back, she reminded me of a thing. Nurse Travis, he had a heart for going out soul winning. And he would ride the van after he lost his license and he was legally blind. He would look at me, he goes, look, are these kids on the bus saved? I don't know, Nurse Travis, else while we're bringing them to church. Well, let me drive. They'll get saved quicker than being with you. You know, we have to have that helpful hand along. Perennial protection is your next one. Perennial protection. How did you know it was right to come into church? Miss Colvin, how'd you raise an awesome son? You but you had to, Dr. Paul, how did you raise such great kids? Merce Wade, you had to have that parental control and protection, get proper leadership. When you stop and you look, and sometimes kids, you want to wring their neck, you think they've gone off the bandwagon. But sometimes you find out there are kids are what's saving us because they remember what you instilled in them. When you stop and you think, at the end of it, because the children of Israel had drifted away, Egypt had fallen astray, and there was false gods coming in. Back then, the children of Egypt worshiped the Nile as one of their gods. Why do you think Pharaoh's daughter may have been at the water? Why? I understand she was bathing, but why go to the Nile River to bathe? And it was during the time of the overflows. So we know at that point, crocodiles would have been very prominent. God looked at Moses. He protected him on this journey. He used a false religion to work to his honor and glory. Because of perennial protection and guidance, it allowed Moses' mother to help give him a foundation to be one of the most famous people for the Israelites. I challenge you this week as you're going through your devotions, really sit down and look at what God has brought you through. How is God preparing you? Do you have a true perception on who God is? If the eastern sky broke today, how do you want to meet God? Are we going to be prepared for that battle? We need to always be armored up. Is it funny to you, in battle, where was most of their armor? We're in the front. Why? Why do we wear armor in the front, not in the back? Because what are we doing? We're pushing the fight forward. There's no retreat. How much are your kids worth? How much is your country worth? How much is your God worth? We'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for all the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And we just thank you for bringing the children of Israel, dear Heavenly Father, using these trials and tribulations so they can understand who you were. Just please be with us today. Please put a hedge of protection around this sanctuary and this church that Satan may not enter in, tempt or toss. In Jesus' name, amen.